Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams. I can see far down the mountain where I've wandered weary years, often by the ghosts of doubt and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led an airy to the land I hold today. I am drinking from the fountain where I never would abide, for I've satisfied. Well, there's no thirsting for life's pleasures or a dawning rich and gay. For I've trod the way before thee and the glory lingers near.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Deciphering prophetical chronology is crucial to accurate interpretation of Scripture. This sermon series will be a study of the 70 weeks of the book of Daniel, chapter 9. The book of Daniel is an Old Testament book of intense prophecy, much like the New Testament book of Revelation. The Lord revealed to Daniel through several visions of secular kingdoms that will rule the earth, and how the Jews and Messiah intertwine. These future kingdoms are known as the times of the Gentiles. The 70 weeks in Daniel is a prophetical time clock that portrays the two advents of Jesus Christ, the first being more chronologically defined, whereas the second is set apart mysteriously. The Apostle Paul wrote, "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The Lord's first coming was the fulfillment of the first part of Daniel's vision. But there is another unfulfilled part of the prophecy. There is a second fulfillment that is about to unfold. The Apostle Paul also tells us that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. This event is still future. It is rapidly nearing its fulfillment. especially as we witness the horrific events on the world stage. The globalists, the Nimrod adorers, Mystery Babylon the Great, and all her abominable cohorts are waging war with God, fulfilling Psalm 2, which reads, in part, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." These earthly rulers and great merchants of the earth are in for a rude awakening. They think they are woke, but in reality they are drunk with madness, insanity, and false perceptions and ideologies. Jeremiah, who was also a holy man of God, filled with the Spirit, explains this madness. "Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad." These globalists, world leaders, Marxist Democrats adore the Tower of Babel and Nimrod, her ancient founder, and they aim to restore her to her former glory in absolute rebellion to God. John the Revelator was given a similar vision in Revelation chapter 17, giving us more details to tie the loose ends of Daniel's prophecy. "There came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Babylon is still alive, my friends, only it is not in the Middle East, but has transported her secret agenda globally. The world is in the throes of sheer madness with this fake pandemic and now the Delta variant that has locked down the world and caused billions to fear a microbe, yet there is no fear of God and his judgment against the vile sins that permeate the earth. Christian, the Lord has given us many tools to uncover who this great whore is and the beast she rides upon. It should therefore be easily decipherable who this woman is. I'll give you a hint. She declares herself to be the Queen of Heaven, and she's headquartered in Rome. If you missed an episode of this program and would like to review a past radio broadcast, please go to the Freedom 95 podcast page at freedom95.us/podcast or find past sermons on the Crown of Life Baptist Church YouTube channel, and please hit the red subscribe button. The Fullness of Time, Part 1.
We're going to look at primarily Daniel chapter 9, and I've referenced it many times in sermons and Bible studies. I talk about the 70th week and the 70 weeks of Daniel 9. You'll hear that a lot with prophecy teachers because it is so significant. And so we're going to be studying this, understanding the fullness of the time was come. We're going to see this phrase, the fullness of the time, used in a twofold manner. The prophetical chronology. Prophetical chronology, prophecy. How does the time clock work on prophecy? How does that take place? We know that false prophets were to be stoned to death in the Old Testament in the law of Moses. They were to be killed, executed for misleading people and being called false prophets. So prophets had to be, you know, a man of God like Jonah or Elijah, they had to be sure that they were prophesying the word of God. They didn't want to be prophesying something that was of man's interpretation or man's thoughts, and they wanted to prophesy God's thoughts. And so God moved in these men because these men were great mighty warriors of prayer. But the Apostle Paul wrote that, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. That's interesting, it has there in Paul's account, not born of a woman, but made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And there's that word might. Not we shall, but we might receive the adoptions of sons. And there's more to the being the adopted son and daughters of the Lord. There's the aspect of following the Lord and continuing in God's word. The Samaritan woman at the well said to Jesus, I know that Messiah, now we'll explain that a little later, but that's Messiah from the Hebrew, but it's transliterated Messiah in the Greek, and back to the English, Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And we see that in John 4:25. As certified proof against all the deniers of the deity of Christ and those who claim that Jesus never said he was God, Jesus boldly declares his deity with the following response. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Amen.
All right? You need to have that verse bold-faced in your Bible, so when the Jehovah Witnesses come knocking at your door and they tell you that Jesus is not God, you circle those two verses, John 4:25 and 4:26, and say that Jesus is God. And he said he's the Messiah, and he's God's anointed one, Christ, the anointed one. According to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, okay, we've studied, I love studying Daniel. It's like studying the book of Revelation. The book of Daniel is the book of prophecy, many, many, many prophecies of the end times found in the book of Daniel. Daniel was a young man who was taken by Nebuchadnezzar out of Babylon, out of Jerusalem, and brought to Babylon. He was part of the royal family, the royal bloodline of Israel, and he became part of the Nebuchadnezzar's wise men. He had a team of wise men, but they were eunuchs, and we told you what eunuchs were, and they were part of the men who consulted gave advice and information, and the king would consult them. And so Daniel was one of the Hebrew children that were part of this upper echelon in Nebuchadnezzar's palace. And so, according to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, the Lord revealed a timetable for the coming of the Messiah. The coming of the Messiah. We learned that Daniel was a man of prayer. He prayed three times a day. He was constantly seeking God's will. When he knew Jeremiah, the prophecy of Jeremiah, he knew that near the end of his life that Israel was to revert back to Jerusalem, go back to Jerusalem according to the prophecy of Jeremiah. And so he was praying and asking for forgiveness of his sins and the sins of his people. Actually, both Advents are revealed here in Daniel chapter 9. The second being cloaked in more of a shadowy mystery that is still unfulfilled. Two different princes are also revealed here. Two different princes. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. 70 weeks. Okay? That whole wording right there. 70 weeks is where you'll hear me use this phrase in sermons all the time. The 70 weeks of Daniel 9. It starts right there. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Okay, this deals with Israel. And upon thy holy city, Jerusalem. Okay, everything centers around those two things, God's people and his holy city, Jerusalem. To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most High. Now, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin, these 70 weeks have to be panned out. It has to play out before the finish of Israel's transgression and Israel's sins. Because everything in the book of Daniel here, though, like I told you in the past, the church is not seen in the Old Testament. And we'll see why here in a little bit. But the church and this age is not seen here, but it is in a sense, but it's very cloaked in a mystery. But the make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy. Can you imagine when Christ comes back the second time, how much of the Word of God will have been fulfilled? Yeah. I mean, all the way up to half of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. Well, everything will have been fulfilled. So know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince. And what's interesting, the only two books that use the word Messiah is Daniel in the Old Testament, and as we saw, Messiah in John, and each of those books only use that word two times. And we see it here, the two times Messiah is used here in Daniel 9. Unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come. Now there's the second prince. Messiah the prince was the first one that we saw in verse 25. But in verse 26 we see, and the people of the prince that shall come. That's speaking of, now here's the twofoldness of divine prophecy. It's speaking of a near prophecy of Emperor Titus, who came into Jerusalem in 70 AD and basically sacked Jerusalem and scattered the Jews, and they became vagabonds in the earth as they are almost up to this very day. though 1948, Israel was reestablished as a nation. But also you have a far picture, a far prophecy. When I say near, means one's been fulfilled already. Far means it's still distant to us. And the other one is speaking of the Antichrist. But we know that Emperor Titus, when he came and destroyed Jerusalem and scattered the Jews, Israel wasn't a nation for almost 2,000 years. And the land was desolate. And you know how God kept any other nation from settling there and becoming a nation in Jerusalem?
Keeping it desolate.
Keeping it desolate, right? And what did he do? He turned off the spigot.
No water.
No water. No water, no rain. Well, nobody wants to move into that territory. He did that for millenniums, almost 2,000 years. Made it desolate. Well, it's going to be desolate again, but for a very short period of time with the Antichrist. So you see this twofold prophecy in here, but not for himself. So it says here, go back to verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. 62 weeks. 60. What's a score?
20 years.
20 years. And that phrase is used quite often, 60 and 10. We see that 62 here in this passage. But going back a little earlier in verse 25, where it says, the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 62 and 2 weeks. And we're going to break this all further down. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And we'll look at that. I don't think I want to explain that to you right now. I'm going to leave you sort of in the dark and what that means. And we'll explain that. But it says, and the people of the princess shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. There's going to be a war at the end, the Battle of Armageddon. And the Antichrist is going to make Israel, the city of Jerusalem, desolate. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is still future. He shall confirm the covenant with many 1 week. In our lifespan, every one of us in this room, what have we seen with presidents and nations and Palestine and Israel over and over and over again is trying to come up with an agreement, peace agreement in the Middle East, right? Every president has tried to develop some kind of peace agreement in that area. And that's true. And but there's going to be one that will come about where the world will recognize it, the United Nations will recognize it, the Antichrist will sign it, Israel will sign it, and it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And I'm not going to give it away to you yet what 1 week means. We're going to learn. We're going to learn. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Most people who would read all that stuff would say, my goodness, I have no idea what that's all saying. what is the Lord saying here? What is going on? I have taught through the book of Daniel at least twice, and I have studied it and read it and read prophecy teachers. So I'm going to break this down for you. Jesus again reiterates these things in Daniel in the book of Matthew. So we get a little glimpse. Now you don't have this, but turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. This is the Olivet Discourse. And Jesus reiterates a little bit and explains and develops for us a little bit understanding about what took place there in Daniel chapter 9. And Jesus even mentions Daniel's name. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, verse 15, Matthew 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Okay, there, Matthew 24, verse 15. The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. It means when you see this covenant broken, when you see the Antichrist, the future king of the world, America will be part of that. They will have been stripped of their sovereignty. All the nations will have been stripped of their sovereignty. The Antichrist will be the ruler of the earth. And he's going to make that covenant, but he's going to break it. And he's going to declare himself to be God. And some think that he may even sacrifice a pig, which is an abomination on the altar in the temple, and sacrifice a pig. But he will declare himself to be the God who is to be worshipped. And that is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now he doesn't know when he does that, he just lit his fuse. Because he doesn't believe the word of God, the Antichrist. And basically, the Antichrist thinks he's going to be victorious over God. And he's just lit his fuse. And it basically, when the Lord comes back, that's when the big bang takes place. That's the real big bang.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week in person and right here on Freedom 95.